the Hostile Zone, hosted by the infamous and dangerous and much lied about Eric A. Sinani. This is where public corruption, abuse of power, a waste and misuse of public dollars, and ultimately using your personal position for gaining power influence over others is met with extreme hostility. Otherwise, everyone else is welcome. Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Welcome to the Hostile Zone. Welcome, welcome, cameras everywhere. You are with the infamous and the dangerous and the very much in your face and always talked and lied about. But thank you for the lies and the talk, because I like anybody that talks about me, because at least they're talking. Here we are. Happy Columbus Day. Those of you that had a day off. Unfortunately, I do not have a day off. However, Miss Bianca C. does have a day off today. She is doing some recording stuff. But that's okay, because we have a busy lineup for you today. Welcome. Thank you for being here with me again on the Hostile Zone. So much stuff has been going on that I don't even know what to talk about. We are talking about third-party stuff. We're talking about constitutional issues. We're talking about the border crisis. We're talking about everything there is to possibly talk about, and to add insult to injury, people. Insult to injury. Just this week. Yes, just this week. Unbelievable. Yes, they voted out the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. The Speaker of the House. Let me just lay this down so you understand. In the United States, how it works, our government works, we have the President of the United States, we have the Vice President, and the Speaker of the House. Those are your three most powerful people. Those are your succession of power. That's the succession of power. And we now removed our number third person, our number three person in power from office because of political issues. I did not see any information, any evidence or anything of fraud committed, corruption, or anything like that. This was strictly a political move. Now, whatever your standpoint is politically on the move, we really have to really look at the big picture. Removing the Speaker of the House is a major, major, major thing. It reaches across all realms of constitutional law and political theory. I mean, it looks at the contemporary governance of our country. And bottom line, the constitutional framework of our country has a mechanism to do this. And we did it, but there's a procedural process that they did. But did we really accomplish anything with that? What did we accomplish? Now we have one less person in leadership. We have a nation. I'm looking at all my cameras. Hello back there. What are we eating back there?
Mexican
food. We're having Mexican food on here. Nobody offered me any Mexican food. Anyway, so first and foremost, there are ethical questions at hand here. There are ethical questions at hand, because whether or not what you feel, Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever you feel, you have to ask yourself as an American, what is the purpose of removing the Speaker of House? Kevin McCarthy was serving as Speaker of the House. He was voted out. And he was voted out very nil margin. It was 200 to 210 or 207 votes, something of that, 206. Something like that, very nil, very small margin that he was voted out with. But I question what the legal ramifications are and what due process that is in place for this. Where do we stand today? Do we have a plan moving forward? Did we tell the rest of the world that yet again, America has a failure in leadership? What did we tell our enemies? What did we tell the people that want to hurt our nation. What did we tell the communities around the country that are suffering in poverty, that are suffering with disproportionate people in criminal justice, disproportionate people in child welfare services, people in educational situations that want to better their life, socioeconomic status level of people? Where does that affect these people? Where are we with that? What are we telling them? What did we do? What did Congress do by removing the Speaker of the House? It's a power move, people. It's a power move. It's a power move. It's a statement of power and dynamics. And you have to ask yourself, who has the power? See, last I looked, this book back here, which, by the way, I have, the infamous pocketbook of the United States Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. This one actually has a little note to me from somebody, and it came from the Heritage Foundation. I needed to put that out. Thank you, Heritage Foundation, as promised, since they provided me one. Thank you, Ed, since he signed it for me. So this document here is what provides the structure and framework of what encompasses this wonderful country of ours that we call the United States of America. We are a democratic republic. We're supposed to be for the people. Who was represented by the removal of the Speaker of the House? What did we tell everybody? That's really what I got to say. I have taken so much notes here. I just have to question, it clearly is a partisanship move. I mean, if there was some kind of ethical violation, if there was some kind of a violation of statute, if there was something that was violated in this Constitution back here, the framers of our nation, this document right here, I mean, is there a violation in that? You know, I want to quote Lincoln from my Lincoln book here. I normally would like to quote Lincoln a little bit other times, but I want to start it off like this, okay? Okay. It's really two quotes here I want to put in. The government must be preserved in spite of the acts of any men or set of men. Think about that. Marinate that. Ponder that. The government must be preserved in spite of the acts of men and the set of men. Second part of that quote, not really together, but it's a quote. A house divided against itself cannot stand. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Our government must prevail regardless of what one man, and I say man, woman, one individual does. We must move forward. We must look at the future. We must see the bigger picture. The men that wrote this document, the man quoted in this book, the people at Heritage Foundation, Eric A. Sinati, Eric Andrew Sinati, Eric Sinati. We have to look. Where are we going? What do we want to do? If there was a violation in this document, if there was an ethical violation, a high crime or misdemeanor, high felonies, high crimes or misdemeanors, then okay, let's have an inquiry, not even a full investigation. Let's have an inquiry. Let's have an inquiry. We just went to a vote. We removed the man from power, the number three person in power. That just boggles my mind. It should boggle your mind. You should be at home, in your car, on your TV, wherever you're watching or listening to me, saying to yourself, what is going on? What is going on? The other thing I have to question is the public perception. Besides our people here in our country, the public perception around the world. What are we doing? We have indictments of former presidents. impeachment inquiries, impeachments. We have family members of the president suing government entities, people prosecuting family members. What are we doing? I'm not here to preach, but it's the hostile zone. Why are we being hostile to ourselves? We need to be hostile to those that are hostile to us. Quit being hostile in our own home. Be hostile to those that want to enter our home. That's all I got to say. You know, we're eroding the trust of the people. Congress, I'm talking to you. You are elected by the people of this country to serve the greater good of them, not serve yourself. You're there to serve the people of your district, the people of your state, and the people across the nation. Okay? It's not about what you're going to get out of yourself for a political gain. You're eroding the trust of the American people of the system. You cannot come back from that. It's like a cheating spouse. When somebody betrays their spouse and they cheat on their husband or spouse and they get caught and they're alive, that's never going to be forgotten. They eroded their trust. It's gone. We're eroding the trust. You're eroding the trust of the people of this very system. Bad enough that people have a hard enough time believing in government as it is. I believe in government. I've dedicated my life to government. And I'm telling you, you're hurting the image of the sanctity of the system. People want to believe. People want to believe in something. We all wake up in the morning and want to believe in something. We cannot erode the trust. The power dynamics in that building, in that chamber of Congress, that branch of government is diminished just one more bit today. We are a little bit weaker today than we were before this vote. And I ask you, my listeners, I ask you in Congress, if you're listening, I ask you, why? Why did we need to do this and make a public spectacle? I understand there are things that you want to get through Congress, and there are bills and issues you want to address, but you don't air your laundry in public. It's just not helping us. It's just not any good. With that, people, we're going to go on a short break. Don't go anywhere, the hostile zone. You're here with me, Eric A. Sinati. I'm here. No one's here to hold me back today. I'm going to call it like it is. Don't go anywhere. Don't make me send somebody to find you, especially if you're a congressman.
Use your voice, Sinati hears you. Use your voice, let it be heard. Use your voice, Sinati hears you. Use your voice.
I am Eric A. Sinati. You've never heard of me. Or yes, you have. You're questioning, have you? You're thinking about it. Either way, you will know me now. 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. Do not be anywhere else. Be seated in your car, in your office, on your couch. I don't care what you're doing. Put the remote down. Put the hands-free away. Listen to the radio. You're listening to me, the Hostile Zone, where we pull back the curtain and expose and hold no punches on people that use their position and use your money for no good.
Use your voice, Sinati hears you. Use your voice, let it be heard. Use your voice, Sinati hears you. Use your voice.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Here we are, the Hostile Zone. You're with the one and only, the infamous, in your face, live and in person, legal scholar that I am, Eric A. Sinati. I want to put on a side note that I have a feature article coming out soon. It's been written and it's about to be launched. It'll be in the news within the next maybe week, where I'm going to be addressing the child welfare system in the United States and the failing aspects of it and how we can try to recover it so we can protect our most vulnerable population, our children. Because at the end of the day, that's important. Now, Congress, that's an issue you should have taken up. That's an issue for discussion. Let's talk about the failing welfare system, the failing child welfare system. Let's talk about children that are removed from the home, that should not be removed from the home, and children that are left in the home and they're beaten and end up dead and never end up on a radar screen. That's an issue, Congress, maybe you might want to look at. We might want to revert that into human trafficking. Let's have a conversation on that too. But instead, we're having a vote of confidence on our Speaker of the House. But going back to Speaker House, I have to wonder, what's the public perception in general? We know that obviously people are unhappy. I mean, people can't possibly be happy with this. I mean, this is something that we have to deal with. But what is the media's role? And I know I'm a member of the media. I'm here talking to you. I have my press credentials, just like everybody else. So I'm a member of the Journalist Guild and Union. But mainstream media, and I use that word loosely because everybody seems to want to use that word as a punchline, and the fake news as a punchline. I'm not using those words. But what is the media in general? And when I say mainstream, I'm talking your mom and pop station, your 24-hour news cycle that people are watching or reading or listening to. What is their role in the removal of the Speaker of the House? What is their role? What is the coverage? Have you been paying attention? Because I have. And I'm appalled at the broad spectrum of opinions across the board on what one particular news network might think about it as compared to another network. But is anybody actually identifying A, B, C, and D of what might have come from this document for that? Because you know what? This gentleman, Speaker McCarthy, or former Speaker McCarthy, Congressman McCarthy, Representative McCarthy, he's now out. He's still a Congress member of Congress, but they could have done this vote when they vote for Speaker. They did not need to do a recall and remove him. This is just my humble opinion to you, my fan base, my listeners. My humble opinion, I whether or not you agree with me or you don't, and I'm going to have my bots that are going to complain. Yes, I get the emails. Yes, I see. But you know what? That's my humble opinion, that we wasted our time. We wasted the American tax dollar. Every time they open the door to that chamber of Congress, every time one of those members of Congress get in their car and drive somewhere or do anything, that cost us taxpayer dollar. Everything they do is tax funded. Everything they do comes from your pocketbook, my pocketbook, comes from that section on your paycheck that says FICA. It comes from there. So you've got to ask yourself, what good did that do you? Is that going to make you at home have a better meal on your table for your children tomorrow? I don't know. I bet you I know who it does benefit. I bet you Putin or somebody else overseas is saying, this benefits us. Here's one more weaker moment for the United States of America. The international perspective is atrocious. Forget what our enemies are thinking. What are our allies thinking? What are our friends thinking? What are our strategic global partners thinking right now? They might not publicly be saying it, but they have to be wondering, where is America? I'll give you a for instance. I'm going to give you one from today. We know that there's a conflict right now in Israel. Hamas and Hezbollah, they're having some issues in the Gaza Strip of Israel. People are dying. Watch the news. Watch a video, people. Watch. They're blowing things up. People are getting shot. People have been taken prisoner. There are prisoners of war being held in tunnels under the ground. Why? You must ask yourself, this is what's going on. Israel is a strategic partner of ours. They happen to be one of our only friends that we can rely on in that area of the world. Whether or not you disagree with them, or you like them, or you don't like them. There are things about them you don't like. There are things about everybody you don't like. But at the end of the day, we do know we have a friend. We do know who's going to do something when we need it. And I bring that point up today because they're having that conflict, and because we have so much nonsense going on in our country right now that Hezbollah has threatened the United States, saying that if we, the United States, get involved and protect our friends, Israel, if we militarily or get involved, and they didn't even specify specifically what level of involvement, but bottom line is that they said if we get involved, there will be repercussions to the United States. So I got to ask myself, what are the repercussions? And what emboldens you, Hezbollah, to think that you can tell America what we can and cannot do to support our friend? Now, I don't proclaim that I want to get involved in your people's business over there, but I also want to say that you don't have the power to just tell us how we can defend and protect our friends, because why would they do that? I can tell you from my humble opinion that one more thing of showing weakness from our country, such as voting the Speaker of the House out, such as indicting former presidents, who I might add more than likely will be our 46th president or 47th president, because if you don't think that he's going to win, you better have a wake-up call, and you better really come have that come-to-Jesus moment and think about it. The man is doing phenomenal in the polls. The man has a tremendous amount of money. And I want to also let you know that if you read anything in this book here, whether or not he's indicted, whether or not he's convicted, he can still win the presidency and he can take office January 20th of 2024, regardless if he's convicted of any of these nonsense charges. He could take office if he's in the middle of a trial. And then guess what he can do when he's in office? Yes, guess what he can do? Let me see. Anybody, any of my staff out there? Because they're all looking at me, they're amazed. What can he do? He can pardon himself. Gone. Goodbye. Wasted court time. Goodbye, American tax dollar. More wasted money. For what? Political gain. Political motive. I'm not here standing up for Trump. I'm not here saying, yes, no, this is who to vote for. I'm not doing that. I'm not going on what political party or what candidate to choose. I'm merely talking public administratively, public policy. I'm speaking as a globalist right now. I'm talking about what we look like globally and now the impact of the American people. This man might very well win the election. This man might very well win the election, regardless of what they want to do. Now, New York State just went ahead and they did a summary judgment. For those of you that don't know what a summary judgment is, this is just simply mind-boggling. This judge, he realized that the court cameras are on, the cameras are on in the courtroom, and he's smiling because he's having the time of his life. He should get somebody there, a marketing and a publicist person, put a little makeup on. You're a judge. Judge the case. Don't smile and be excited that President Trump is sitting there, and then you pass summary judgment. Summary judgment means he made a decision on the case. He ruled against the Trump Organization before the Trump Organization even had a chance to put a defense on. And what did he rule? He wants to take away the man's business assets and his ability to operate a business in the state of New York. Is that a democratic republic? I don't think so. Last I looked, he's not running a monopoly. He's not running slave labor camp. He's employing thousands of people in that state. Let's not even talk about everywhere else. just in that state. Anybody that's from that area can look at this. There's a skyline of New York. He built most of that. Anybody that is a member of any of the construction unions, the concrete unions, the steelworkers unions, the Teamsters, the pipe fitters, and the list goes on. They all made money. They all built buildings. They built infrastructure. They did something because of this man's company. In the United States of America, where people are jumping over the fence in Mexico to come to this country because our streets are paved in gold. Well, how gold are our streets if we have some judge who's just off his rocker and he's just passing judgment on somebody without actually giving him a chance to defend himself? And by his judgment, he's stripping away the constitutional values of a free market, of a capitalistic society. That's why people are dying at the border to come here, because we have opportunities. Yet we have a judge in New York that is smiling with a big smile on his face when he realized he's on camera, because he's taking on President Trump. Come on. Where are we going? What are we doing here? You know, we need to go on a break. Let's get a good commercial. You marinate that. Don't go anywhere.
Use your voice, somebody hears you. Use your voice, let it be heard. Use your voice, somebody hears you. Use your voice. Use your voice, somebody hears you.
This is Eric A. Sinati. You're asking who this guy is? Eric A. Sinati is the guy you're going to be listening to at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, on this station and this station only. This is where you're going to be in the hostile zone, where I'm going to pull back the curtain and expose public abuse, abuse of public dollars, and people who, yes, use their position for personal gain and use their position to hold you down to expound their lives. We're going to pull it back. We're going to show you who they are, and we're going to call them out in the hostile zone. See you there. 6 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Monday. You do not want to miss it.
Use your voice, somebody hears you. Use your voice, let it be heard. Use your voice, somebody hears you. Use your voice.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. Here I am again with you. I went off on a rampage, but I had to. And I want to go more about this. I went on about Speaker McCarthy, former Speaker McCarthy, and the erosion of the opinion of what we look like around the world and what we look like to our own citizens. But I want to get into a little bit of a legal conversation, because I think I mentioned a couple things like summary judgment. And, you know, summary judgment is where a judge will make a decision on a case based on what they look at in writing, and the evidence that they have before them, but there is no trial. There is no opportunity for cross-examination. This judge just made it past judgment. This has serious implications. This is going to set a standard for all cases moving forward against Trump. This is the ramifications. This is my humble legal opinion to you, my professional legal opinion, my professional, educated, legal, scholarly opinion. This will have implications for Trump in all his cases moving forward. They have yet to explain why there is a summary judgment. What led this actually to be the decision? But I can tell you that we have a rule of law in the United States. We have legal standards. We must examine the evidence as it is presented. We must look at it in an impartial manner, and we must apply it equitably. We must apply it equitably, irrespective of who the defendant is. You may not like this person at all, but you must apply this equally across the board. It's the color of law, the rule of law. You have to question that. This is a legal process. This is something that affects not only Trump's future cases, but it could affect you, me, my staff members, my family, friends. The erosion of the criminal justice system, the erosion and corruption of the justice system. Justice is supposed to be blind. If you've seen the statue, the blind statue, the eyes are covered. She's wearing a blindfold. Lady Justice is wearing a blindfold. I want to believe that that's still the case in this country. But when I see things like this, I have to question, is she really blind? I assure you that this judge in New York was not blind because his eyes were wide open when he puffed the sweat off his forehead and flicked his cheeks to get a little rosy red and put a big beacon smile on for the camera because he had President Trump sitting there. And if you want to add extra insult to injury, the attorney general sitting there in the second row staring like she wanted to have a staring fighting contest. She doesn't stand a chance in a debate against any halfway decent attorney. She doesn't stand a chance debating Mr. Trump. You're there because you're a hack. Okay? Madam Attorney General, you're a hack. You're a hack. You've been caught on soundbite. People forget how easy that people remember TikTok and they remember Instagram. When you won your office because you're a hack, and people paid for you to get there because you don't have the ability to win on your own. But you verbally said publicly on social media that your number one target was Donald Trump. Why is that the most important thing for the state of New York? Why is that? What did he do? Again, I'm not defending him. I'm just discussing the legalities, and I'm discussing how justice isn't blind anymore. How could you possibly be in office still when you want to talk about an individual and say that that is who you're going to target and that is who you're going to get, and you laugh about it and you post it on social media and you think that this is acceptable, and then you do it, and then you have the audacity to sit in the second row of the courtroom knowing the camera's looking at you, staring at the camera like you're tough. You're not tough. You're tough because you're in a position that somebody bought you into. And the second they're done with you, they don't donate for you anymore. Good luck finding a job. Good luck. I can't imagine many law firms that are going to want to be anywhere near you. I can't imagine a company in the state of New York that would ever want to employ you because you are the one that pushed to take away somebody's ability to work. If you shut down the Trump organization and you take away his ability to operate his business in the state of New York, think about all of the people you are now putting on unemployment. Now, since you're a Democrat, are you going to follow the Nancy Pelosi rule and the rule of San Francisco? Maybe everybody should get a tent and camp on your lawn when they can't pay rent and they can't feed their children. Are you going to feed their children and pay the rent and the car payment? Because when all these people don't have a job anymore because he's not allowed to operate his Trump organization, he has to take the name off of buildings that he built with his money. Are you going to be the one to help those people? I'm pretty sure you're not. I'm pretty sure you're not. I'm pretty sure election time, when you're up for re-election, I'm pretty sure a lot of people are going to be looking at your deficiencies, which I'm sure you have plenty. And I'm sure maybe the hostile zone might want to take a further look into your deficiencies. How many bar complaints you might have had in your past. Who you used to work for and don't work for anymore. And who wrote a check to your campaign. Because again, your campaign finance money is public knowledge too. So it's very easily to be looked up. Whose interest do you serve? Are you serving the public interest? I don't think so. Show me how that decision serves the public interest. Somebody tell me that. I don't see the interest of the public. The man, you're claiming the man filed some fraud papers or whatever. The banks that lent him the money, he paid them back in full with interest. Not one bank is coming forward saying he defrauded them. Not one company is saying he didn't pay. The banks continue to lend him money. They made money. Everybody got paid. We have infrastructure. We have jobs. You, Madam Attorney General, did not satisfy the due diligence of your position by having the public interest at heart. You failed, number one. Number two, Madam Attorney General, you failed the constitutional broadness and sanctity of what your position entails. There are constitutional ramifications for these actions. Madam, you failed there. I hope the voters hold you accountable. I hope you look at yourself in the mirror and feel good about what you've done. Again, this is not a Donald Trump support moment. This is a capitalism moment. This is a moment of pride for our country. Here is a man that employs people. Whether you like what he says or not, he has a big mouth and says a lot of things he shouldn't say. No doubt about it. He might want to put down the Instagram and Twitter sometimes, but the man pays his taxes. The man employs people. With the political climate that we are in, we're just creating a larger partisan divide when we're supposed to be unifying people. We're supposed to be Americans. We're supposed to be Americans. Okay, the only time that we care about Republican and Democrat is election season. Well, guess what? It's not an election today. And going after this man in civil court and criminal court to try to stop him is violating the rights of every citizen in this country, because we, the people, have a right to choose our president. You do not have that right to legislate or to judicially, by the bench or from the executive branch of an attorney general, have the power to use your position to help decide who's going to be our next leader. It's just plain and simple. It doesn't have to be any more larger or more crazy than that. The partisan division is just incredible. We are looking at a rule of law versus a political vendetta. The rule of law versus a political vendetta. When does it stop? When do I count? When do the children count? When does the senior citizen who's counting pennies on Social Security and can't afford medication or can't afford to go to a doctor, when does that count? Where were you when people were dying in nursing homes in New York State? And you were sending people to nursing homes knowing they were going to die of COVID. Where are those investigations? Where is that? We want to talk about that? I don't see anybody talking about that. Where is the discussion of violence in the street? How many people need to die of fentanyl overdoses before we wake up and realize that we have a problem? We have a problem. And it's far bigger than any one person can fix. It's a systemic problem. It's a systemic problem, and it's not an individual problem. Whether you are a drug user, a drug purchaser, or not, you are affected. Everybody is affected by drug use. Everybody is affected by the fentanyl crisis. Everybody's affected, whether it be the young child who's been human trafficked, whether it be the person who OD'd on the corner, whether it be the family that has very limited money because they can't afford to survive and they sell drugs because that's the only means of employment that they can get because no one will hire them. Everybody's affected. Why is it that somebody can have cancer in America and they need radiation. They need infusions. They need medical treatment. But if they don't have insurance, they don't get it. If they need something, they have to wait online for an appointment to get an infusion. But if you overdose on opiates, fentanyl, they're there in a second with Narcan. They're there for a second with Narcan, and they inject you with Narcan, whether it be nasal or intravenously, and they give you Narcan. It shuts down the opiate receptors, and it pulls you out of death. It pulls you out of death and brings you back to life. That's kind of what an infusion does for people with blood disease, for people with cancer. But why can't they get that? And they have to pay and wait online and maybe not get it at all. How about the person that needs to get an organ transplant and they can't get that? But we can go to the same people over and over and over again and provide Narcan treatments. I can tell you firsthand, as an EMT serving on multiple EMS departments, not just one, more than one, I've personally been involved and delivered Narcan more times than I want to tell you, and that's not what this show is about. I personally have a life-saving award on more than one occasion for doing Narcan and performing CPR to save a 42-year-old man's life who overdosed on opiates. This is our crisis. This is our crisis. Yet we want to indict former presidents. Yet we want to go after businesses. Yet we want to replace Speaker of the House. Where are we on the real issues? Let's go on a break, people. Come back. It's going to get more exciting. I'm on a roll today. Don't go anywhere.
Use your voice, somebody hears you. Use your voice, let it be heard. Use your voice, somebody hears you. Use your voice.
I am Eric A. Sinati. You've never heard of me. Or yes, you have. You're questioning, have you? You're thinking about it. Either way, you will know me now. 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. Do not be anywhere else. Be seated in your car, in your office, on your couch. I don't care what you're doing. Put the remote down. Put the hands-free away. Listen to the radio. You're listening to me, the Hostile Zone, where we pull back the curtain and expose and hold no punches on people that use their position and use your money for no good.
Use your voice, somebody hears you. Use your voice, let it be heard. Use your voice, somebody hears you. Use your voice.
Welcome back. Welcome back. All right, here we are again. You're with the infamous Eric Andrew Sinati. Eric A. Sinati. Eric Sinati. EricAndrewSinati.com, EricSinati.com, TheHostileZone.me, and a whole host of other websites. I'm just trying to get that out there before I forget. Please check me out on Facebook, Eric A. Sinati, The Hostile Zone. Check me out on LinkedIn. Look for me on LinkedIn, Facebook, look for me. I am now on Twitter, known as X now, apparently. Check me out. Follow me. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about these issues. Anyway, back to fentanyl. The legal aspects of fentanyl are alarming. Alarming. It's a public health crisis at biblical levels. And I'm not specifically mean Bible, but I mean biblical in the sense of evolution. We are changing the DNA of our country, literally changing the DNA. We are changing the mental capabilities. We are changing the endorphin levels. We are changing what's in your brain by damaging and corrupting it with garbage. With garbage, people are dying. Law enforcement is overwhelmed. They are overwhelmed. What can they do? And here's another part. Believe it or not, fentanyl does have a valuable purpose in life. It does serve a purpose. There are some very sick people. There are people with severe injuries, suffering severe medical conditions. And they need medications like this. Fentanyl is a scheduled pain drug. It's an opiate-based drug, a synthetic opiate-based drug that is purpose is to relieve pain. Unfortunately, it does provide side effects that some people find to be, enlightening, pleasurable, whatever you may want to call it. I can't really speak to it because this is not anything that I have personal experience with other than taking medication for medicinal purposes legitimately. And I was hurt and I didn't experience anything from it. And I have never gotten high from it, so I wouldn't know. But I can say that it does have a purpose. So with that, it is an enormous problem for law enforcement because some people have this in its prescriptions. They have other opiate pills, Oxycontin, et cetera, in pills, and they might have them in prescriptions, and you don't know if they really need it. There are people that need these prescriptions that can't get them because doctors are afraid. The DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, supervises what prescriptions are written and not written. And doctors are afraid to give the prescriptions out, so people are suffering that need them. And it is sad when somebody needs a prescription because they're suffering from a medical condition and they know they're suffering, but doctors are afraid to write the prescription because they don't want to be scrutinized by an overburdensome government, so they don't write the prescription. And some of these poor individuals find themselves on the street to purchase these drugs because they need them, and they end up dead. They end up dead because they're laced with things that they shouldn't have. We talked about this last week on the show. Somebody that I know of that had got an Adderall, and they needed an Adderall, and they didn't have a prescription because they didn't have access to their prescription, and they couldn't get anybody to write a prescription, and they got one from the street that was laced with fentanyl. People are dying. There are social consequences to failure to act. The populations that are dying are vulnerable populations. This is a crisis of disproportionate levels. It's impacting certain communities more so than other communities. And I could go down the list of what these communities are, but I don't need to. You already know. The lower socioeconomic status somebody is, the more likely they are that they're going to get a drug that is of a low quality. They may not have health care and they have to buy it on the street. Again, I'm going to go back to the guy that overdoses and gets Narcan for free from 911 over and over and over again without penalty and without charge. They don't even arrest the person because they sought medical treatment. So you overdose on an opiate, 911 has to come with fire department, EMS, and law enforcement. All of those resources are taken away from somebody else to come to you or whoever this person is to provide Narcan and maybe have to do CPR and then transport them to the hospital. All while those resources could have been allocated somewhere else. And again, not to make light of a situation, but that is expensive. These are public dollars. This is your tax dollars, my tax dollars, your FICA. Look at your paycheck. This is where it's going to. We have a global supply issue. We are not just making this here. This is coming from other countries. Countries that don't like us. They are poisoning our youth. They are poisoning our people. And we're worried about who the Speaker of the House is. And we're worried about if Donald Trump should be able to operate a business in New York. I ask you, what are we doing? I understand we are a rule of law country. I understand. I understand that this is the hostile zone and corruption will be met with extreme hostility. So yes, if you're corrupt, you don't belong in office. But I question the judge who smiled for camera. Do you feel that you are fit to serve on the bench? I question you, Madam Attorney General. Do you feel that you're fit to be in office? People are dying. People are hurting. Americans are suffering every day. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on soon to be Instagram. Follow me on Twitter. EricAndrewSinotti.com. EricSinotti.com. CINOTTI.com. EricSinotti.com. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on X. Get me on Facebook, The Hostile Zone. Because here on The Hostile Zone, Sinotti hears you. I hear you. I'm looking at all my cameras. I hope you heard me today, because you're going to hear me more next week. With that, Miss Bianca C is going to take us out with honor and style, because I still love our country, and we're going to celebrate it.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the boat bursting in air, get proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave for the land and the home of the brave. Use your voice, Sinotti hears you. Use your voice, let it be heard. Use your voice, Sinotti hears you. Use your voice.
Thank you for listening to The Hostile Zone, because in Sinotti's zone, I hear everything, everywhere. For everyone else, see you next Monday for more outrageous talk, where we pull back the curtain and hold no punches. From me to you, have a great week. And remember, everyone, treat others kind, treat your family kinder, and always love our country.